If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to the other account that Harold mentioned, the one in Matthew 25. This morning, he read the least familiar of the two accounts of this parable. There are similarities and there are differences between the two. Having just heard the parable of the minas, I want to read for you the account out of Matthew 25, and I want you to note the similarities, but especially note the differences in these two parables. In Matthew chapter 25, it begins down in verse 14. Jesus said again, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Do you notice some similarities and some differences in those two stories? Both of them are set near the end of the ministry of Jesus. Matthew uses a term for a collection of money. It's actually a weight of money. Talents, while Luke uses minas, they're both measures of money. In Matthew's account, he only focuses on 3 men. One, he gives an abundance, one a small amount, and one even one. Luke has 10 men come, and each of them are given 1 mina. In the end, in Matthew's telling, the first man doubles his talents, the second man doubles his talents, and the third man just buries his single talent. In Luke's account, he only focuses on 3 of the 10 men. One of them had more than doubled. He had turned his 1 mina into 10. The second man had turned his 1 mina into 5. And then the third had hid away the 1 mina in a piece of cloth. The master in the stories differs a little. In Matthew's account, he's a master who goes away on a long journey. In Luke's telling, he is a man who is going away to receive a kingdom, and then he comes back as king. Both of the stories focus, in the end, on that third man who did nothing with what was given him. Now, Some people ask the question, well, why the difference in the two stories? Well, it's very probable that Jesus, as he traveled around, told many of these parables multiple times to different audiences in different settings. And so he would tell them, and there would be a little bit of variable in those. I will tell you, after 20 years of preaching right here in this congregation, I have used some of the same illustrations a second time. I've used some of the same material a second time, and I'll change it a little bit. Any of you that have taught have used the same material more than once, and you'll change it up a little bit in different class settings. And so we can expect the same as Jesus told these stories. Now, the word talent has come down into the English language, and it has come to mean ability. It comes from this very usage that we read here. And so we need to be careful that we're not confused by that. The word talent in the text that we're reading here in Matthew 25 literally is a weight of money. Now, it has come to mean abilities, and we can use it like that, but it also can mean money. It can mean any resource we have, whether it's money, whether it's some ability or skill set that God has given us. So it's the whole spectrum of gifts that God has blessed us with as His children. I want us to consider over the next few minutes three truths that we can glean from this particular parable. First of all, we need to understand that everything we have, all of our resources, all of our abilities, all of our skills have been given to us by God. In the story, these men came to their master empty-handed, and then he gave them resources to be used during his absence. We all have seen people that have tremendous abilities, have been blessed. We call these people multi-talented individuals. I see this up close with my own children. They have different abilities. And our rule of thumb in our house was do your best. We tried to recognize this when it came to school, when it came to other activities. We gave all three of our girls piano lessons. They were different in their abilities. We let them try just about everything they wanted to try, and we recognized they had different abilities. But our rule of thumb was just do your best in whatever you do, and we will be honored and pleased by that. The aim in life is to end and simply say, I have done my best. We don't all have the same abilities, but we can all give our best effort in life. Now, God has blessed each of us with an almost infinite number of ways in which we can serve and be a blessing in His kingdom. You know, one of the writers in here, and I've heard it said before, is that God does not ever find a no-talent man. There's not a no-talent man in these parables. Well, I would go further to say that there is no such thing as only a five-talent man or only a ten-talent man. Each of us has multiple talents. This is simply a story of illustration. I can find any one of you here this morning, and if we sit down for just a few minutes, you can begin to list off a number of talents that you have. How many here, you know, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but let me just go through this. How many here could help stock the pantry? How many here could either be a teacher or a teacher's helper in one of our Sunday school classes? I'm talking about just basic ability to get in there and do the job. How many of here could prepare food for a family in need? Some of you guys could even do that. How many could buy food for a family in need? If you can't cook it, could you buy it? How many here could greet visitors at the door as they come in? How many people here have the ability to hand out bulletins? How many people here can pray for those that are listed in the bulletin? Is there anyone here who can't do that? How many here could drive an older member to see the doctor? How many here could invite someone to come to church? How many here could make an encouraging visit or an encouraging phone call or send a note of encouragement to someone? How many of you could teach a World Bible School lesson? How many of you could cut out material or sew? How many of you could sing at a funeral? Now, I'm not going to keep going, but I could go for another hour. And by the end of my list, if you said yes to everything that you had the physical or mental or spiritual ability to do, you would have a long list of areas in which God has gifted you and blessed you to be useful in the kingdom. No, there's no such thing as a one-talent man. I doubt that there's any such thing as a 25-talent man. We all have been given multiple ways to be a blessing. And God is the giver of all of those gifts. He's given us these abilities to bless the lives of others. Now, God also gives latent talents. Talents that you don't know you have at the beginning. Talents that you only discover later in life. And very often, the way we discover our talents is to have those who have discerning eyes, spiritual men and women, maybe who are older than ourselves, who come to us and say, you know, I see something in you that you maybe have not seen in yourself. And opportunities are placed before us. And we're asked to do something that we've never done before, and we don't even realize we're good at doing this until we try our hand at it and discover that we have even been blessed in areas beyond what we realized. Some people say no to any new request. They say, I've never done that before. And it's only when we try things that we learn that we have an ability that God has blessed us with. Let me just tell you this. If you say no, you won't grow. It's by saying yes to new challenges that we begin to learn the giftedness that God has actually given us. Some areas of service require greater ability. That's true. But God is generous with those greater abilities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, we're told about the source of all the gifts that God has given to us. There, Paul wrote, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We're given all these talents and gifts and abilities and resources for the common good of the kingdom of God. And it goes on to say, Paul does, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. You know, I'm not a great singer. I'm not a great song leader. I could do it in a real pinch. But God has not given me that, so I don't worry about that. God will give me something else. Each one of us have been given gifts that we can use for the common good. You know, it's a shame to think that some of you have gifts that are latent gifts that you've never said yes to. Someone maybe has invited you to try this or try that, and you've always said no, and you have this latent gift that you may discover late in life that God has blessed you with in an incredible way. Remember Grandma Moses? She didn't know she was an artist until she was an elderly lady. Just think how blessed the art world would be if Grandma Moses had tried her hand at art when she was 19 years old. Many of us have latent gifts that are never discovered because we always say no to opportunities that are placed before us. Next time someone taps you on the shoulder and asks you if you would serve in some area where you've never served, just say, well, I've never done that before, but if you think I can, I'll try. I'll test the waters. I'll see. Now, I've tested the waters in some areas where I have discovered that I am a dismal failure, and I'm not going to do that again. And if someone taps me on the shoulder, I'll say, no, I've tried that before, and I'm pretty lousy at that, so I'll do something else. But at least try these things. There's a second truth that emerges from this parable, and that is that God entrusts greater resources to those who simply use what they have. God builds upon our strengths, and God uses us to accomplish greater things. To the man who had doubled his talents, the master gave even more. In Luke's account, he gave cities to those who had accomplished much with the minas given them. To the one who is faithful in little, he will be entrusted with much more. Barclay, in his commentary, talks about a universal law of life, and I think he's right. He says, the more knowledge a man has, the more he is able to receive. And we know that's true. The more knowledge a man has in languages, then he comes to appreciate all the things and all the wisdom of another language, the things written, the classics in Spanish or in French or in Latin or in Greek. The more a man knows in science, the greater his appreciation, the greater his capacity to learn even more about the world of science. The more a man knows about math, or the more a man knows about finance, the greater his capacity and the greater his appreciation, the more he can learn in all these. The more he learns, the more he is capable of learning. And so it is with our abilities. And the more we utilize these things, the greater tool we become in the hand of God. Now, there's a flip side to that as well. Those who refuse to learn or who refuse to grow will lose even what they have. How many of you took piano lessons when you were young and never practiced anymore? How good are you today at playing the piano? How many of you took a foreign language, maybe Spanish or French, when you were in high school or college and never subsequently used that language? How fluent are you today? Do you not know, do we not realize that if we don't use what we've been given, we will lose those things? That old maxim, use it or lose it, is so very true. Now, some of you have been blessed and have acquired and develop skills in various areas. Some of you have the gift of leadership. Some of you have the gift of making and sharing money. Some of you have the gift of teaching. And some of you have the gift of mentoring and helping others around you. But there are those who have been given these gifts and maybe who have developed these gifts in the secular world. Maybe in your line of work, you have honed these skills to a great degree, but you've never used them in the kingdom. And what a shame to have these gifts and to have said no to God as far as kingdom use of these gifts. You know, I'm always grateful when I see people who have developed these skills in the business world, and then they bring them to bear within the kingdom of God, and they doubly bless the kingdom of God because of what they've learned in the business world. I tell you, there's someone here in this congregation that I think serves as a great example of that. She's a school teacher, and she has learned to teach high school classes for years and years, and she has brought that talent of teaching right here into the congregation. That's Linda DeBusk. We all know Linda. She's pretty quiet, unassuming, doesn't blow her trumpet. But I can tell you, if you've ever had a child that has been in one of Linda DeBusk's classes, they love her. They love the things that they've learned in that class. My girls all went through her classes. She has taught continuously in this congregation for 27 years without ever taking a break. She's a public school teacher, and she blesses the lives of the children of this church by using that gift, that ability, that talent right here in the kingdom. There's a third truth about this that comes out of this parable, and that is that God does expect a return. There will be an accounting one day. In the story, both masters returned. One returned as the king, and he would defeat his enemies. Here in Matthew's account, the master returns and he expects an accounting for the gifts that he's given. Many feel that because they don't have some great contribution, because I don't have tremendous abilities in the area of music, well, then I'm just not much good at anything. That's not true. What I can contribute, however large or small, always can and will make a difference. One man has said, "The woods would be silent if no birds sang except those who sing best." Another has said, "Consider the lowly postage stamp. It has one single job, but it sticks with it till the job is done." You know, in the stories that Jesus told about the talent, there is only really one servant out of the whole group that had exceptional skills. The one who turned one mina into 10. The one who turned 5 talents into 10. Only one with exceptional skills. But those who had lesser skills and did their best were complimented with the same compliment. Well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the happiness of your master. You know, Lincoln's the one who said, God must have loved the common man because he made so many of them. For the most part, this world is made up of common people doing common jobs. Back in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about all the giftedness that he gave to the church, and then he talks about how the body is built up, and he uses that little phrase at the end, as each member does its part. It's not great things that are accomplished just by great people. Great things are accomplished when everybody does their common job, as each person does their part. You know, I look at this church, and there are a few people who are multi-talented in this congregation, not very many. There are a few people who have exceptional skill in a few areas. But most of what's accomplished in this church over the course of any year is done because we've got a bunch of people who will do their little jobs faithfully and consistently along the way. Barclay again wrote, God does not want extraordinary people who do extraordinary things nearly so much as he wants ordinary people who do ordinary things extraordinarily well. Now, we can all do our little job and do it very well and do it repeatedly and do it faithfully. And that's what God is looking for. No, Jesus is coming back. And there will be an accounting. And there will be some who have been given their gifts, who will stand before him, and when they give that accounting, they'll say, well, I was too old to do that, or I was too young to do that, or I was too busy, or I never did that before. And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of reasons given, but there will be many who never did great things, but who did small things faithfully and joyfully. Who said yes, who tried, who didn't always do the best, but who was willing to be used by the God who gives gifts. And to those, he will smile and he will say, well done, my faithful servant. I'm convinced that this church is going to be filled with a lot of those to whom God will say, well done, my faithful servant. And I hope we can all just have the spirit that is encouraged in this parable of putting our shoulder to the job, our nose to the grindstone, and serving faithfully to the best of our abilities all of our life. This morning we're going to sing a song of invitation, and if there's any way we can serve you or assist you, we'll pray for you, we'll assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never submitted your life to him in baptism, this morning if you need us to help you, let us do that. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.